Hi, my name is Susan Adkins. I pastor the Clearview Gospel Mission here in Martinsville, Virginia. My husband Danny and I have been there for about 12 years now, and we have a congregation that's located on Clearview Drive here in Martinsville, 504 Clearview Drive. If you ever get a chance to come by and visit, we'd love to have you. But Sister Blonnie Gregory of Truckin' for Jesus Ministries has asked me to share a message with you today. So I'm always honored to get to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that that is our hope and that is our salvation. And that's our good news today. So I want to share some scriptures with you out of the book of 1 Samuel. I'm going to be reading out of chapter 13. And I'm going to start reading at verse 19. Before I do that, I'd like to take just a moment and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you today for the opportunity, God, to share your word. God, I know that your words, God, are truth, and we know the truth sets us free today. And so, Lord, my prayer is that, God, you would go by your Spirit even now, God, and minister to every heart and every person that's hearing this message. I pray, God, that you would save, heal, and deliver, God, like only you can. I pray, God, that you would just set everyone free of any sickness or bondage that might be holding them today. Lord, more importantly, I pray today, Lord God, that we would all come closer to you. And, Lord, if there's anyone hearing this message today, Lord God, and they don't know Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray that they would make him their Savior today. And, Lord God, they would be born again by your Spirit. Father, I love you today. I pray that you help me, God, to share what the people need. And Lord, we put our confidence and our trust in you, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And what I want to talk to you about today is a little bit about kind of where our world is headed and really kind of where the church is headed also. But the Lord showed me these scriptures and began to talk to me about the state of the church and the things that we need to do to prepare our hearts and get closer to the Lord. And so I want to share that with you. Now, in these portions of scriptures, we find that the Israelites, who were oftentimes in bondage and oftentimes victorious, it just depended on how obedient they were to God, because we know if they were obedient, then God promised them he would give them victory. But oftentimes they would begin to serve the gods of the other lands, the pagan gods, and as they would do that and fall into disobedience, many times they would become oppressed by the enemy. Well, this particular time in history, Saul, being the first king of Israel, had began a good work with Israel, and he was a good king, but he had kind of gotten off of God's path and started out on his path and gotten a little carried away in his own agenda and his pride and started doing things his own way and pleasing himself instead of God. And what had happened was the Israelites had very subtly and very gradually come under the oppression of the Philistines. Now, anytime you hear about the Philistines, first thing you think about is Goliath and David. We know that Goliath was the giant who teased the Israelite army, who taunted them and wondered if there was anyone in Israel who could fight him. And we know that David, who had been anointed by God to be the next king, we know that he went out and he understood there was a cause and he fought that giant in the name of the Lord. And we know that he had victory over him that day. But in these scriptures, we find that the Philistines didn't come in such a bold way, that they came in a very subtle way, and it was almost like they were blending in with the Israelites enough so that they could gain power over them without it becoming so obvious. And that's really where the church is today. That's where America is today. It seems as though we've allowed the enemy to come into our lives in such a subtle way that he's rendered us powerless and we don't even realize it. And so I want to share the scriptures with you today on how this happened to Israel. Verse 19 of chapter 13 in 1 Samuel. Now there was no smith, that being a blacksmith, found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and Jonathan, his son was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. Now, this is such a sad commentary because the Israelites have become submissive now, or subservient to the Philistines, who are their arch rival. And it seems that they have found this upper hand, because they have made sure that there are no blacksmiths to be found in Israel. They understand if they can take away the people who were able to make the weapons, then the Israelite army won't have a whole lot to fight with. And it also says that not only did they take away the blacksmiths, but they made sure that even to have their tools sharpened, they would have to come down to the Philistine blacksmith. And not only would they have to come down and have them do it, but I'm sure the Philistines encroached a large bill for the service they rendered. So there was great oppression upon Israel because of the Philistines. And it seemed as though King Saul and the Israelites had just learned to live with it. And, you know, I think that's what we do many times. We become all right with what the enemy has put upon our lives and the subtle way he's come in. And he's eased in such a way that we've just learned to live with addictions. We've just learned to live with oppression and depression. We've just said, well, I've got to live with this sickness and there's nothing that can be done. We've learned to live with all kinds of situations in our lives, when in fact it's an oppression of the enemy that Jesus Christ died to give us victory over. And the good news is today is that we don't have to live under that oppression. Hallelujah. The problem is here is that the Israelites, and most importantly, King Saul, who was leading these people, didn't really see the problem. They just became servants to the Philistines. And there is not a good leader on earth who would allow their people to go without weapons. And it says here in verse 22 that the only people in Israel who had a spear to fight with were Saul and his son Jonathan. Now, anyone in battle is going to tell you it's not as important that just the general or the leader or the commander have weapons, but every person out there on the field, they better have something to fight with. And, you know, we look at our leaders in this country, and we look at our pastors, and we look at the people who are sharing the gospel. And, you know, we must carry those weapons, and we must fight the good fight of faith. But it's important that every one of us have weapons that we can do warfare with. And I'm not talking about carnal weapons. I'm not talking about spears and guns today. However, that's important for us to have as we defend ourselves, and we do have that right to bear arms in America. What I'm talking about is spiritual warfare. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty through God, even to the pulling down of strongholds, that we can bring every high thing that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, that we can bring that into captivity to the knowledge of Christ. And we can only do that through the Word of God and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, through the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. And so it's important today that we all get back to drawing our weapons to fight in this good fight of faith. See, the problem here with Israel is that they were all right not having any weapons. That they were just fine going down to the Philistine camp and getting what they needed and going back home. And how sad it is that the church seems to be doing the same thing with the world. That we seem to be borrowing what the world has and trying to make it work in the church. But it just doesn't work that way. Let me tell you something. If it's not birthed by God, it's not going to honor God. If it's not born of faith, it's not going to do anything that'll create something supernatural or anything that'll please God. And so it's important that we get back to the things that are birthed by God Himself. We get back to doing things God's way. And it was not God's plan for King Saul and the Israelites to be submissive and to have to depend on the Philistine army. It is not God's will for the church. It is not God's will for America to have to depend on any other country, to have to depend on this world, to have to depend on any other government. It's not God's will. He wants us to depend solely upon the Word of God and the order that He sets in our lives. And we've got to get back to living by faith. So what happened here was Jonathan realized that they just couldn't go on living that way, that it wasn't fair to the Israelites to have to be in that type of bondage. And he began to be enlightened on their situation and said, you know, we can't keep going like this. And so one day he and his armor bearer he said, listen, I'm going to meet up with the garrison at Michmash, and when I do, if he says such and such to me, I'm going to know that that's what the Lord has initiated for him to say, so that I'll know to fight him. And when I fight him, I'm just going to take this one spear that I have, and I'm going to use my faith, and I'm going to fight him, and I'm just going to let whatever happens happen, because I'm going to do it by faith. And I believe that's where God wants us to get back to here in Israel. So, armor bearer, are you with me? And the armor bearer said, I'm with you. I'm going to go where you go. They fought together, and the Bible says that he took out everyone in that camp there. It was 20 men, because he chose to fight, not with being dependent on the Philistines for what they could give him to fight with, but he fought with faith. And that's the place we've got to come back to. Church, many times today we're going to get our tools sharpened in the Philistine camp. America has become dependent on the Philistine camp for help. We've got to get back to a place where we honor God with our faith, and not our faith, not our faith in religion, not our faith in our church, but faith in Jesus Christ and the power of the cross. That is where the power is going to come from today, and it's time that we rise up in power. Listen, the only power you're going to have in your life over the enemy of your soul is the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, the power that the Israelites had over the enemy was to be obedient to their God. And any time they walked in disobedience, they became a servant to sin. And the enemy became their master. And in our lives today, if we're not born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, we become servants again of that same enemy. We become servants to the sin, and it masters us, and it has control in our life. And there is no other way that you can have victory apart from Jesus Christ. He's what makes you victorious today. He's the great physician who heals every cancer, who curses every diagnosis from the enemy. He's the one today who delivers from every addiction and every drug abuse and every foul thing that the enemy would try to shackle you with, or maybe you've been bound to for years. Your hope today is in Jesus, and that's where you're going to get your power. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ and through that great plan that God had for him to die on the cross for our sin. And then that resurrection power that he got up with, that he offers to us today. It's not going to be in religion. It's not going to be in positive thinking. It's not going to be in anything that the world has to offer, but it will be in Jesus Christ, and you'll have hope and you'll have victory through him. Jonathan said, we can't go on living like this. We can't go on doing what we're doing. It's not fair that I only have a spear and my father has something to fight with, but the rest of Israel is serving the Philistines. He knew that the plan of God was much greater than what they were living. And I just believe some of you are out there today, and you know in your hearts that the plan of God for your life is much greater than what you've been living. And maybe you have become servants to something in your life that's not godly, that has authority in your life that you don't want it to have that authority any longer. Today is your day to be set free, and you can do that through Jesus Christ. All you have to do is call on him. God said, call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you know not. He's just waiting for somebody to cry out for help today. Now, I love what it says here. It says in chapter 14, in verse 4, and between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of that one was Bozez, and the name of the other Sana. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said unto the young man who bore his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of the uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. I love what Jonathan said. He was making something very clear when he was talking to his armor bearer. He said, you know, it may just be a few of us that have a spear, but God is not restrained or held back or limited by our capabilities. by what we're able to do. Hallelujah. And neither are we if we are dependent on God, if we're believing and having our faith in Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no restraint and no restriction on what God will do in your life. But we have to look past our circumstances. We have to have faith in the authority and the limitless power that God has and that He's given us through Jesus. And we have to put our faith there and not in our situation and our circumstances. Verse 7, it says, "And his armor bearer said unto him, Do all that is in your heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with you according to your heart. And said Jonathan, Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. And if they say unto us, Tarry until we come, then we will stand in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say to us, Come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign to us." In verse 11 it says, "And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor-bearer and said, Come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor-bearer, Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor-bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer killed after him. And that first slaughter with Jonathan and his armor-bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow." All it took was one man making a bold declaration of faith and saying, "I don't have to live like this anymore. I do not have to serve the Philistines. I do not have to serve the enemy that God has already told me that I can have victory over." And let me tell you something. If you're serving anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ today, you have become a servant to sin. You have become a servant to the enemy of your soul, and the devil has got you bound up today. But the good news is this. All it takes is a little bit of faith. All it takes is just a little bit of knowing that if God be for you, who can be against you? All you gotta know today is that Jesus himself loved you so much. The Son of God loved you and loves you so much that even while you were in sin, he died for you. So that you could have this choice one day to have eternal life. And so that there could be absolutely nothing that could ever have this kind of authority over your life again. Today is a day of liberty for you. Today is a day of freedom if you choose. Today is a day where you no longer have to get your tools sharpened down at the Philistine camp, but you can go directly to God himself because that barrier has been torn down. That door has been opened wide through Jesus Christ, and he is inviting you to come to him today. I love you, and I thank you for allowing me to share the word. Before I close out, I want to say a prayer, and I want you, if you're listening and you need to be set free from anything in your life that is dominant over you other than anything that God has put in your life, I want you to pray this with me, and I want you to let the Lord help you today and set you free. All you have to do is say, "Father, I come to you and repent of my sin. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me and wash me with Jesus Christ's blood that was shed for me. I ask you to fill me with holiness, with the purity that he walked in. Touch my mind, touch my heart, and touch my life that I can serve you and not have anything dominate in my life, not have anything with authority other than Jesus controlling me. Help me to live my life to serve you all the days that I live. I thank you, Lord, and I give you glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I thank God for the word today. I thank you for the opportunity that I had to share the gospel. And I pray that you would just be blessed by what you've heard. I pray that you would take it and share it with someone else and let the good news of Jesus Christ change somebody's life today. Thank you to Trucking for Jesus Ministries for the opportunity to be with you today, and God bless Sister Blondie and the work that she's doing. And once again, if you have the opportunity and you can come out and be with us at the Clearview Gospel Mission. We would love to have you there. We have a Sunday school at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Then our morning worship begins at 11. And then Wednesday night, we have a Bible study at 7 o'clock. And then every other Sunday night, we have a 6 o'clock service as well. So love to have you come out and be a part of that with us. God bless you. Thank you.
Today, I want to thank Pastor Susan for coming on the broadcast and preaching the Word of God to you. Sister Susan and her husband, Danny, have been a real blessing to my ministry. And whenever I'm in town, I get to go to be with their church and their people. And they have been a real encouragement to you. And I encourage you, if you don't have a home church, go be with them. I know that your hearts will be touched and be blessed. And I just thank God for men and women that will stand in the gap and preach the Word of God. And not only do they preach the Word of God, they're faithful to help the neighborhood. They have made a change in our road. I live right off of the road their church is on, and they made a change in our neighborhood. And that's a true quality of and that's what our churches should do. They should make a change in our neighborhood. They should open the doors to anybody and everybody that wants to come in. And I thank God for men and women that will stand in the gap, for men and women that will preach the Word of God and want to preach the Word of God. I was in a church a long time ago, and this the Gideons had sent a man to preach that morning and talk about the ministry of the Gideons. And he was a dear friend of ours, and when he came in, he had some health problems, but he was still going on for Jesus. And he was standing up before the church, and he was preaching about Jesus and telling about the wonderful ministry of the Gideons. And somehow or another, he got off balance. And when he did, he fell to the floor. And when he fell to the floor, you could just hear gasps all over the congregation. And people were just stunned, and they jumped to their feet and was going to find out what had happened to him and was he all right. And this brother looked up at one of the brothers that was sitting on the front row where he was standing. And he looked up at him and he said something that I'll never forget. He said, "Brother, help me back up for the cause of Christ." And when he did that, that brother got up off the front pew and helped him back up. And you know what he did? He stood back up on his feet and he just went on from where he stopped and he finished his message. But I'll always remember what he said, "Brother, help me back up for the cause of Christ." Today, I thank God for churches. I thank God for ministers that will help people back up for the cause of Christ. There's a lot of people that have fallen. There's a lot of people that have gotten themselves in trouble. There's a lot of people that have been hurt beyond measure. But you know what? We need to help them back up for the cause of Christ. And for 36 years, my husband and I traveled across the United States with our church on wheels, our traction trailer that we converted into a mobile chapel. And that was our heart's desire, is to go across the land and help people up for the cause of Christ, to tell people about Jesus. And that's what we need to do. It's good to have fancy churches, and it's good to have all the good things. We want to have nice things for people when they come to worship. But the main goal and the main object of all of our services should be to win the lost and help people up for the cause of Christ. There's enough things pushing people down. There's enough things in our country that's hurting people. But I tell you what, it's only through Jesus that we can truly help them up to stand faithful. And when we stand and preach the Word of God without fear of what's going to happen to us, without favor that's not showing respect to men, preach the same truth to all, and without compromise, do not compromise the Word of God. I see a lot of people today that are compromising the Word of God. Don't compromise the Word of God. Don't give up. Don't back up. I always remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. They said, "We're not careful to speak in this manner, O King." And that's the way I want my life to be, and that's the way I want your life to be, not to be careful to speak up. But when the truth comes, let's speak it out with love and with kindness, but not back off the Word of God and stand faithful to the very end. I believe with all my heart that the Lord is coming back soon. But I also know that our country is in trouble, and it's only those that will turn to God, and only that when we seek His face can we get the help that we're going to need in our country. A good friend of ours, he wrote a song that I love. It says, "Get back to church, get on your knees and pray. And let me tell you, people, that's where we need to be. We need to get back to church. We need to get on our knees and we need to pray, because let me tell you, that's the only remedy for our country. That's the only remedy for our church, our situations and our churches. Even churches today, they've gotten to the place that they've let other things hinder them from doing what God has called them to do. I've seen a lot of miracles over the years that I've trucked across this country, seeing God do great things. But the greatest miracle that one could ever see is when one gives their heart and life to Jesus. The Bible tells us some water, some sows, but it's God that gives the increase. And I pray today that you'll keep your eyes on Him and you'll watch for His return and know what we do, we must do quickly. Thank God for churches that will stand in the gap. Thank God for pastors that will preach the truth. Thank God for countries that will still let us preach the Word of God. God is faithful. Visit with me on my website, truckingforjesus.org. Thank you again for listening.